These infections can be serious and hard to treat, but there's one simple thing you and your family can do to help prevent these infections. Wash your hands and make sure that everyone who touches you, including your doctor, cleanses their hands too.
A message from the CDC.
This is Summer Reese, Interim Executive Director and Chair of the Board of Pacifica Foundation Radio. I will be discussing the future of WBAI live Thursday, October 24th, 2013 at 6 p.m. following the Tom Hartman Show. Please tune in to learn more about the options the Board of Directors may be considering and the plans to ensure this important radio station's future and how you can be a part of that.
WBAI invites its listeners and staff to a special election week showing of the award-winning film, Giuliani Time.
And we will require them to work in exchange for shelter.
It's a full frontal assault on the civic deification of Rudolph Giuliani, says the New York Times.
That I took a city of dependency and made it into a city of workers.
That's on Tuesday, October 29th at Theater 80 on St. Mark's Place near First Avenue in the East Village. Doors open at 6 p.m. Following the film, panelists, including Green Party mayoral candidate Tony Gronowitz and the Tax Wall Street Party candidate Randy Credico, will be discussing the Giuliani-Bloomberg legacy and the future of New York City. All proceeds go to benefit WBAI. So please call 516-620-3602 and pledge just $25, and that'll be your ticket to this great film showing and panel to benefit WBAI.
On Thursday, November 14th, Pete Seeger will be performing a WBAI fundraiser at the Cutting Room on East 32nd Street. Joining Pete Seeger, the multi-talented musician David Amram, The Last International, and me, Teokas and Ghost Horse, host of First Voices Indigenous Radio here on WBAI. And I Know You're Caring About WBAI will ensure that it will be here for another 53 years. Yes, I am challenging you to walk your talk at this once-in-a-lifetime musical lineup of Pete Seeger, David Amram, The Last International, myself, and a surprise guest or two. Tickets are available online at thecuttingroomnyc.com or call The Cutting Room at 212-691-1900 and tell them WBAI sent you. Join us supporting you and WBAI.
You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI, and WBAI.org on the web. And Gary, welcome back.
Hi, Michael G. Nice to be with you. Today, in keeping with our theme at Try As Many New Important Premiums, when you offer premium, there's two types of premium you can offer. One is it's an acknowledgement premium. It's a thank you, like a mug or the best of or a t-shirt or something like that, or a buddy system. Then there are other premiums that really resonate with what a person's essential needs are. And the largest, most popular group of those have historically been the health ones. In fact, for 27 years, without a single aside, the health premiums dominated the money that was brought to the station, frequently up to 40% of the total pledges in a given break, given fund drive. And then there was a whole rash of political and hard-hitting issues. And some of those found very good audiences as well. And then there were those that dealt with the 9/11. And those were extremely popular. So what can we offer that would honor the people at a level that those who say, yeah, I need that, and you give them something they need. And for a reasonable but not excessive amount of money, the people then support the station and we have another day. And that's what it means. So that's why I asked Kathy Davis, what premiums are important to you, Kathy? If you were going to pick up a phone and call the station, what would motivate you? And she thought, well, I think that people's health is crucial right now. especially those people who see the difference of when they eat well and they don't eat well. And so why don't we do green stuff? I said, fine. And then I said, but I want to do something beyond that. I want to give them something beyond the green stuff. I'm gonna honor the people who are looking to make major changes or minor changes in their life at this time in their thought processes. So that I'll get to second. So this is really a 1-2 combination. It's all for the same price. In effect, you're getting the second part of it as a free gift. Let's go with the first one. This audience wants to be healthy. I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning saying, I want to be sick. You know, I really want to be fatter, more fatigued, or in more pain than I was yesterday. So then how do we get healthier? How do we put that health as to advantage? You have to consume something. Ideally, we consume wholesome, locally grown organic foods that we pick up at the food co-ops, farmer's market, or the small health food stores. And that we take our time and we do some slow eating, slow food prep. And if possible, or the circumstances allow, we share those special moments with our partners or friends or family. But let's say that we then have to face the reality of our day-to-day lives. Hectic, busy, lots of phone calls, lots of chores, lots of tasks, a lot of running. We don't always have as much leisurely time as we'd want. Maybe on the weekends we do. During the week, most people don't, especially those who are working. So then what do? Wait for the weekends? Not at all. We can look to supplement our diet with a whole food, something that's real, something that came out of the earth, something that's not genetically engineered, that is vegan, that is gluten-free, and that is loaded with what are called ORAC, O-R-A-C, which are antioxidants, 10,000 value, which is huge. To give you an idea, I doubt the average American consumes 500 ORAC value in a day, and just each serving of this is 10,000. And then you ask, okay, if this was a perfect world, and if I could put everything that was really beneficial to my well-being into my body, what would I put in there? But I can't base it upon taste, because a lot of people, what's really good for them, they don't like the taste of. They wouldn't like the taste of kohlrabi or rutabaga or real horseradish, not the processed kind you buy in the stores. It's the bitters. They're just too strong. So that's why a lot of people like sweet or salty. But that's not what's good for them. So I made it easy. I made something this delicious tasting. Taste is just terrific. It is cherry pineapple. From real cherry and real pineapple. It's raw. The biggest health movement today in the United States is raw. All your juices, those are raw. Salads, fruits, sprouts, raw. And more people are realizing after they start consuming these how much better they feel. The enzymes that are in raw that just explode in the body, facilitating so many biological processes. And enzymes are the catalysts of life. We need them. They're essential to our well-being. But in the nature, diet, the processed diet, the bagels, the donuts, the bread, the fried food, those don't have these enzymes. You want all natural. You want phytonutrients. Phyto, P-H-Y-T-O, means plant. But then in the plant kingdom, there are superstars. There are those that can belt it out of the park. And there are those that are just good. So I wanted only superstars. So here are the whole food, natural raw ingredients that go into green stuff. You start with what I consider the ultimate food in our body, apple pectin. you Google apples, Google apple pectin, you'll see all these scientific studies on what apples do, what apple skins do, what the apple pectin does in your body. Then you'll understand why I put it number one ingredient. Then organic barley grass. Most people don't realize that the grasses are gluten-free and that they're the richest in chlorophyll. In fact, you couldn't eat healthier than eating microgreens, those that are only 2 or 3 inches high. But those are the ones that are really power-packed. Phytonutrients, chlorophyll, antioxidants. So I give the second leading ingredient is organic barley grass. I make this into a juice. Then I put carrot juice and spinach. Then we hit something that you just never eat, and that's chlorella. Now you've heard of chlorella, and you think, well, I heard of that. Isn't that that single-cell algae that came from lakes and was supposed to be so good? Yep. Now, where do you see it sold? You don't. But it's in here. Then you see spirulina. Again, organic spirulina. Another form of algae. And I don't know of a single food that is higher in many nutrients than spirulina. It's a superstar. It's the one that shines best in your body. So I have two of them, chlorella and spirulina. And then we go to celery and cauliflower and cabbage, broccoli, oat beta-glucan, kale, asparagus, parsley, radish, broccoli sprouts, onions, collard greens, and arugula. Yep, that's all in there. That's over 20 vegetables and phytonutrients. The organic spirulina and barley grass and chlorella, the cruciferous, it's all in here. And a big serving, it's heavy, it's 500 grams. And you take a scoop that's in the can and you just add that to whatever liquid you like. Now, I'm traveling, and I travel a lot because of all the filming I do and all the studies I do. And I can't carry a bunch of stuff around, and I can't trust the restaurants where I'm traveling to have anything that I would eat. So I take bags in New York, and I fill up the green freezer bags, and I'll have like 5 filled with green stuff and 5 filled with red stuff. And I zip those and I, in my protein powder, and I take those with me. I generally don't have any trouble getting through airports. And so throughout the day, I'll stop and I'll take a scoop and I'll put it into a glass and put some either spring water or whatever. If I have apple juice or orange juice or almond milk or rice milk, soy milk, and then I just stir it around and drink it down. And instantly I feel it. I feel the surge. I feel the energy. I feel something so powerful, so pure, so wonderfully nutritious caressing through my body. I'm hypersensitive to energy. I'm a big believer in everything that we do. We have to consider that there's an exchange of energy. If I choose a healthy drink with green stuff, that's a choice. I'm exchanging that for a cola. There's an energy exchange. There's a consequence to both. And most people don't realize that consequences are cumulative. Cumulatively good, cumulatively bad. You know, nobody has a cola and ends up with diabetes. No one smokes a cigarette and ends up with lung cancer, has a glass of alcohol and ends up with cirrhosis of the liver. But 1,000 glasses of alcohol and 10,000 cigarettes, yeah. Then you've increased the probability of that biological tipping. So why not just put good things on your side? Bad things. And that has to do with a lot of our cultural beliefs and our conditioning. So I just believe that with so many things that could undermine our health, I'm going to be extremely prudent in doing something good for my health. So I created Green Stuff 21 years ago. And about every 8-9 years, I figure out a way to make it a little bit better. And a year year ago, I found that some people were saying, you know, I love your green stuff, but my kids don't. They don't like the taste of, you know, vegetable powder. So I thought about that. And I thought, well, how many people are real purists and they'll drink something even if it doesn't taste good, but people they want to influence and help with their health won't. It doesn't taste good. They're just not going to do it. So I went to work, and it took me about 6 months before I finally found the flavor combination that everybody said was spectacular. It smells like cherry pineapple. It tastes like cherry pineapple from beginning to end. People love it. In fact, if you put a scoop of this in water and had someone drink it, they would never know it's vegetables or chlorophyll or seaweed. They would think it's fruit. That's how it tastes. They would think that. As a result, I've gotten a lot of feedback of people who wanted to influence and would hope would influence people to take this to help put some good in their body, because it tastes so good, smells so good. Even the other day, Michael G., I was on the road and I got a call from someone in my office says, hey, do you know that such and such movie star is filming up a major feature film in Canon? They just plot X cases of, because they swear by this and they're going anywhere if it's not there. I said, no, I didn't know that. I said, I know a lot of famous people use it. I know a lot of celebrities use it, but no, in fact, it was, well, I wouldn't even go into it, but it was featured in People magazine is what keeps one very famous actress looking and feeling great as on the protocol, but she specifically mentioned green stuff. In any case, I said, all that matters is that someone knows how important it is to have this. Now look, the reality is that most people are not going to have a completely pure, healthy diet all the time, every day, every meal. So at least this is the compensation, because there is no compromise in green stuff. This is tasting phenomenal. It is phenomenal. It has the 20 raw and all natural vegetables with all the phytonutrients and the spirulina and chlorella that your body would benefit from. So there, no matter what else you do in a day, at least you've done something good, something really good, something your cells will appreciate. Even if you don't go up and Google every ingredient and see why I selected each one of these ingredients, see the superstars that I could put in your body will know, because your body works off innate intelligence. It is intuitive. So there's no fat, zero, there's only 40 calories. There's no trans fat, there's no cholesterol. There is a lot of fiber, 9 grams of fiber per serving. There's no sugars whatsoever. So this is kind of like the perfect ideal whole food supplement to put in your day. I know a lot of people take this to work with them, have it at work, and in mid-morning or mid-afternoon, they'll take this for their break. While others are taking coffee and a roll, they'll take this. And this is a whole lot different what it does, but then the coffee, which is bad, and the roll and bagel, and people may like the taste of, but your body's not going to like what happens when it goes in. So that's our premium today. It's called Green Stuff. It's a whole food. It's a powder. It's raw. It was juices. It was a whole vegetable and seaweed that was juiced and dried without heat at 80 degrees. And put in here, and it's for everyone now who calls in. It's vegan, it's non-GMO, it's gluten-free, and it has a high antioxidant ORAC factor. So that's what we're offering today to those people who say, yeah, I'll support the station. And if you support the station because you want the station to continue, or you support the station because you really like the premiums you get, it serves both purposes. Either way, you benefit. Now, that's it. Michael G., and I'm going to come back with a bonus in a moment that costs you nothing, but I wanted to get the green stuff out and get the phone number out.
Okay, Gary, and I'll give that out right now. It's 516-620-3602. I'm going to be very slow and deliberate about giving the number out. for folks. If you want to get green stuff, it's for a $99 contribution, and a special gift is coming through for Gary Nolan in just a moment. Let me give the number out. It's 516-620-3602. $99 tax deductible contribution to the station. You are supporting WBAI and you're getting green stuff. Gary Knowles, new and improved green stuff. And that's what sold me on green stuff when I heard about it a couple of years ago, or last year, in fact, was the fact that not everybody is going to eat a healthy diet and it's going to be a lead a vegan lifestyle. And I was one of those. I'm one of those. But do something good for yourself. And I said, all right, let me try this. Let me try a scoop of this cherry flavor. And when I got my green stuff and opened it up, sure as you're born, that cherry, that pineapple flavor came through immediately. And I said, well, how could this be with it's looking green to me? How could this be? But it did. You just put it in your drink. I prefer an orange or a mango juice, or you can put whatever you want, or just water, and you can do it. And I've been using the green stuff for a couple of years now, and along with my vitamin C, I haven't looked at a cold in those 2 years. Not looked at a cold in 2 years. I'm not saying this is going to happen for anybody, but I'm saying this is my experience. And I'm one of these people, not a famous person at all, but I swear by it. And I'm encouraging you to support the station and get green stuff, Gary Knowles green stuff. It's 516-620-3602. In fact, I was waiting on this to happen. I'm waiting on Gary to offer green stuff. I think it's fantastic, and I'm encouraging you to do that as well. It's a wonderful product, and it is helping this radio station. That's what we're doing here. That's why Gary is doing this. He could be off doing other things, as he is doing right now, doing his filming, making his documentaries, and also helping this radio station, WBAI. 516-620-3602. And we're waiting on your call. And we know these calls are going to be coming in. So we're going to take a few moments to allow you to go to the phone and get green stuff. To supplement your diet, because, you know, you're not going to, most people, most in this audience are not going or not living that vegan lifestyle, but it's an excellent source of nutrition. And as you heard Gary said, the ingredients, apple pectin, and it's number one, apple pectin. And I remember him saying in a previous DVD about juicing that the skin of the apple is key, it's so rich and vital. Apple pectin. Mm-hmm. Same for apple pectin. That's right.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, I've reported many times on the benefits of apples,
yes,
and apple skins on this show, and mm-hmm, apple pectin. It's a superstar. It's one of those wonderful ingredients that nature provides us that makes us healthy. How many times have we heard an apple a day?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And I said, and also an onion a day. Well, I have onions in here.
Do
and
you? I didn't know that.
You realize how many people are out there eating kale. They're mainly eating the dried kale chips.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd have to eat a ton of that dried kale chip to get what you get in one serving, mm-hmm, of this, because we're actually juicing the kale and then drying it. And so that what's important is you remove the 98% of the water, 97% of the water. It's the juice. What you're left with is the power of the actual ingredient that was why you'd want to eat that. So we just made it more concentrated, more bang in each scoop, more nutrients, more 10,000 ORAC. That means all the antioxidants helping protect your cells by trapping free radicals. The average person in this audience is never going to get 10,000, in my opinion, 10,000 ORAC in a day. Well, now they are. Now they're getting it. And they don't even know how much work that those ORAC antioxidants are doing. Protect their cells from free radical damage and oxidative stress. But that's why I have 10,000 per serving, not 10,000 per jar, per serving.
Mm.
How many are in there? This is tremendous. And so the best of the best, the chlorella, the algae, the spirulina, the algae, and yet you don't taste the algae. You taste pineapple,
that's
cherries.
Right.
That's green stuff. And everyone I know who uses it, just they talk so well about it. And look, you know, if we get 50 or 100 people, you know, over the course of a month from the station who pledge to the station who get this, I don't make any money from this. This is given at a cost, no profit. But I'm happy with that. I'm happy that they selected this as a way of benefiting the station. And that's what it's about. But now we have a bonus. This is that little extra I was telling you about. For everyone who calls today the station and orders for a pledge to support BAI, a bottle of the green stuff, delicious, nutritious, fabulously healthy powder, you're going to get a hardback book. Of the 100 books I've published, different titles I've published, this is considered by many to be the best. It normally is $24. Called Living in the Moment, A Prescription for the Soul. There are 17 chapters in here, and each chapter in here is a different book. Unlike other authors, I don't like to have 10, 20 chapters, but all of them are threads off the original chapter, just extending the same thought. I want each one to speak to a different need within the person. Unsolicited testimonies, including from Professor Ganga Dean, and chief of the Department of Philosophy at Haverford College, and he's the author of a very famous book himself, The Awakening of the Global Mind. He said, quote, Gary Nall, and this is on the cover of the book, Gary Nall is an experienced, brilliant, and rare holistic visionary healer for humanity in the 21st century. He understands that there are cultural and institutional disorders that trace how we are conducting, actually misconducting, our consciousness. In this powerful and accessible narrative, he presents a diagnosis for our current cultural disorders and taps the enormous power of global wisdom through the ages in prescribing a deep healing for our human condition as we mature and learn to live in this moment. This is a must read for anyone concerned about our sustainable life and the flourishing at the individual and cultural levels. There are several people who gave unsolicited testimonials, and let me just read you some of the chapters. Mind you, this is free. You're not paying for this. This is our gift. This is WBA and Gary Nall's gift to the listeners for saying thank you for calling in our hour of need and supporting the station. The big chapter is 74 pages. It's called The Baby Boomer Dilemma. And it explains how we got into the mess we are today, what we did right, what we did wrong on all levels, including how we raised our children, the X generation, and then how they raised their children, the Y generation, and how they're raising their children, the millennial generation, and what this means. Why are we not all pulling together? Why are we not stopping home foreclosures and corrupt government and ALEC and genetically modified food and the acidification of the oceans and the security police state and totalitarianism and the power of the oligarchs and the fascists? Why aren't we doing anything about this as a community? Individuals certainly are. And many people on the station are. But why aren't we as a society? This explains that. This explains why you have more people in one night watching the Kardashians than you'll have involved in all environmental movements in a year. Something's wrong with that picture. And yet, that's who we become. Well, how do we change? What is our solution? And I give the solutions to the baby boomers. And the reality is many baby boomers are going to have to start over again. And that's a big deal. Because that means surrendering the certainties of the future, because so many people no longer have a happy, prosperous certainty of a future. About 245 million don't. So that's addressing them.
You know, Gary, you said that in a program, one-third of Americans live in poverty or near poverty?
Yes, absolutely. They're at poverty level. One-third, one out of every three people. Yes, that's real poverty. You know that there's 1.5 million children that leave school every day and have no home to go to? No home. None. There are 18 million children who are hungry each day. The number one cause of bankruptcy was medical bills for 9 of 14 years, and second in the other years. Bank foreclosures were the number one for 4 years after the crash. Well, why don't we have a universal health care? That would be the humane thing to do and the reasonable thing. Why don't we make better choices as a society? And I explain that in the Baby Boomer Dilemma. Then embracing our bliss. A very profound thinker, in my personal opinion, was the great historian and the man who let us know about bliss, Joseph Campbell. He was a unique educator, and I really liked his series with Bill Moyers on mythology. And in one of those, it was about bliss. When he described bliss and how he described it, it just made so much sense. Well, bliss is really the remarkable moments of our lives. Why is it we don't have more? Why is it we spend an inordinate amount of our time thinking about how we feel? And that is such an artificial perception, because so much of what we think is coming from a conditioned response. It's not authentic. And so I talk about bliss, regaining bliss, having blissful moments all the time, then living an illuminated life. Why can't we be more illuminated? Why did we look at other people who we considered more illuminated than ourselves? Why did we live such passive spectator existences? Why not be more active? How to manifest a beautiful life? Expanding into enlightenment. The 13th step. Attracting success through self-empowerment. Embracing passion. Changing your life now. Rebalancing your life. Creating perfect harmony. Those are just some of the chapters in this book, and each one is written as if it were a standalone book. So this is a very powerful book. This is the book that I believe could make a lot of difference, and has, because I've gotten a lot of feedback from people about how they keep this book with them, and they read it to keep connected to what is real and essential. It's called Living in the Moment, A Prescription for the Soul. And it is hardback book. It's a powerful book. It's an upbeat book. It's very positive. Very life-affirming. The only time I discuss a problem is to put it into a context to understand the variable solutions that you have. So it's about solving problems. It's about empowering people. That's a free gift when you call the station today to get your green stuff. No strings attached. It's yours. All you have to do is call now. Michael G.
All right. Thanks, Gary. That's right. Call now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Many people are calling right now. Be patient as the call center at 516-620-3602 takes your call and processes your pledge. It's only going to take about 3 to 4 minutes at the outside, 4 minutes. So it's 516-620-3602. Gary Knowles Green Stuff, new and improved green stuff. It's a $99 contribution, and you are supporting WBAI, and this very fine thank you gift will be coming your way. Bertel Reimers personally is taking charge and making sure that these premiums get out to you immediately. So we want to thank you very much for that, for this call that's coming in right now. And in addition to this, it's a free gift that Gary is giving to everyone that calls now and makes that $99 pledge to WBAI, the book, living in the moment prescriptions for the soul, and indeed embracing our bliss, how to manifest a beautiful life, living an illuminated life, and expanding into enlightenment. And then he goes on to the 13th step, attracting success through self-empowerment. All of this, and there's much, much more that's coming in this book as well. And we're asking you to join us. Living in the Moment, we'll be sending that to you as well as the green stuff. $99. It's tax deductible. You are supporting radio station WBAI, commercial free WBAI. And Gary has been a part of this station for over 30 years. And again, it's been a commercial free venture all of that time. That is why, the reason why Gary can have these conversations with remarkable minds and give you the health and nutrition updates daily on the program. I'm part and parcel of the program is the health and nutrition updates. 516-620-3602. The green stuff, the new and improved green stuff derived from fresh vegetables and whole foods, raw and all natural. The ingredients are apple pectin, as we've, Gary has been talking about, organic barley, grass juice, powder. Look at this. And I didn't even notice, and I take it every day, and it wasn't even, you know, wasn't even paying attention. Onion powder, collard greens, arugula. Yes. And you know something? Before I took green stuff two and a half years ago, I said, you know, took it to my doctor and I said, hey doc, you know, what do you think about this? And he looked at these same ingredients and he says, wow, there's a lot of this and a lot of that in there. There's nothing wrong with this. And I've been taking it ever since myself. Now, where did I stop? Organic spirulina, celery, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, the cruciferous vegetables in this green stuff, new and improved. And it tastes like cherry and pineapple. Believe me, as soon as you open the jar, you will smell it right away. It hits you in the face. It smells delightful. 516-620-3602. And you know something? I have to try the almond milk. Try it with almond milk or try it with another beverage. I get kind of stuck on one thing. So I haven't tried it with these other beverages. So I think I'm going to try that.
You'll really enjoy it, but give it to some. You know what's nice? When you know how healthy you can be and how you can improve your health. I recently, while on the road, this goes back 3 months ago, I got a call from someone who I've known for a long time. And I actually got a call not from him. I got a call from his father, who's 84, and said that would I intercede to help because they don't know what else to do and they don't want to put this person in an addiction control place, but this person needs help. They're down and out in L.A. and just laying on a couch in a soiled sweatshirt and really bottomed out. And I was right in the middle of a tour, and my tours are packed. And I said, give me 2 weeks, and then I'll have some time to spend with your son. And they flew in, brought the son, and the first thing you notice, he had short-term memory loss. This guy is only 58 years old, and 10 times within 10 minutes, he made the same statement, not knowing he had made it before. Short-term memory loss is a precursor to dementia, and that's right before Alzheimer's. And plus he had all kinds of pains in his body. And I said, I only have a short period of time, but I will spend this with you. And I told the father I will be with him nonstop, and I'll get him on the straight and narrow. And I did. He took all the juices and concentrates, including, needless to say, the green stuff. And positive conversation, exercising, only living foods. And in 4 weeks, he returned back to LA a different human being. short-term memory loss gone. That's what is able to happen. And he was not the exception. Now, how long it'll take to rebuild his liver and kidneys and his heart, get his total health back, that'll probably take about 2 to 3 years. If he's consistent, if he doesn't fall off the wagon again. And I hope he doesn't. At least in the short term, it showed what is possible. And all the time I meet people, Michael G., who just don't believe that something that took 20, 30, 40 years to develop, diabetes, and obesity, could just be turned around. I had a woman come into the park 2 weeks ago, and she's a short woman, 4 foot something, and was going out for a workout, and she did the whole workout, and she did it at a good pace. And afterwards, she said, I just want to let you know I've lost 110 pounds.
Wow.
Protocol. 110 pounds. Mm. In under a year. And she said, before I could never lose anything. I'd lose something, gain it back, lose it, gain it back. She said, once I've been following a healthier lifestyle, mind you, she didn't say diet. She said lifestyle. She said, I just have lost all the weight I need to lose. I don't need to lose another pound. Now I want to do the marathon, something I never in my life thought I could do at age 60. She said, when you're 60 or 59 years old and 100 pounds overweight, you know, you're looking at death. You're not looking at life. Now I'm looking at life and doing a marathon. And she said, I can't tell you how important this is. So I know what's possible. So why not give a jar of green stuff to someone that you care about who may not be as conscientious or as inclined to do the right thing with their body? And just to suggest, because that's all we can do. We can't do more than suggest.
That's right.
Hey, why don't you take this in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And ask them, what's your favorite? You know, is it orange juice, grapefruit juice, tomato juice, whatever it is. Let them have a scoop of this in their favorite juice. And then see at the end of a month. Ask them, do you notice any difference? Notice a difference in your energy, in your eyes, in your mouth, your tongue, how you sleep, in digestion. Notice anything different? And let them see for themselves. Now, maybe they won't want to do that, all right? At least you made the effort.
Mm.
But what if they do? And what if, as I've seen so many times, they go on to take another step and another step in a period of time, they're really regaining their health, things that nobody thought possible. So I know what's possible, Michael G., and I want others to give themselves the benefit of a doubt. I'm always happy when I see people who are healthy. I want to see everyone healthy. I'm not just a foolish optimist. I believe that we all have the right to happiness, the right to health, but we have to make some smart choices, and we got to stop some foolish choices. So green stuff, it's a great first step.
Hmm.
It's a great first step,
yeah,
to put this into your body, because then there is no compromise. This is as pure, as powerful, as all-inclusive of all the right vegetables, 20 different vegetables, the phytonutrients, the chlorophyll, the non-GMO. It's all in here, delicious smelling, delicious tasting, and it's doing a lot of good. Now, what I don't do is I never make health claims.
Right.
Ever. So if I told people what I knew green stuff did, everybody would be picking up the phone and calling. Everybody. But I won't. And I'll just simply tell you what it's made from, and let them go up on the internet and Google the different ingredients, and then they'll see for themselves. It has a low glycemic, so it's terrific for diabetics and people with any form of metabolic syndrome to eat. It's great for people who, I'll just say it's good for everyone. So that's it. Now, you mentioned, I just wanted to mention to you about this drive. Remember the other day when Christine and I were talking about the new, in 1 week, just last week, we had the worst tornadoes in,
yes,
West Texas history.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We had for the first time in American history, we went 400 parts per million in carbon dioxide, which means that we are tipping in the environment, and that was a wake-up call to the whole world. We had the largest hail ever recorded in the United States, the size of grapefruits.
Mm.
it could kill you if it hit you and it was coming down from the sky. We had, we also had solar flares, three of the worst solar flares that you could imagine. Had any of those three on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday hit the Earth, it'd have been lights out.
Wow.
And that we weren't in that trajectory, but I spoke with Matthew Stein, interviewed him, and he was in the clip, and he said it is going to hit Earth now. All right. It's going to happen. We just don't know the exact time. But if it's one of those X ones, one of the big ones, then you will say, thank goodness I got my emergency survival kit.
Mm-hmm.
I know what to do. I have plan A, plan B, and plan C. And then right when I'm doing that show, up comes the tornado in Oklahoma.
Yes, that's right.
Now, this is a tornado that had a 1 mile, it was 1 mile wide. Now, there is a record of a 2 mile wide one. But none in recent history.
Mm-hmm.
And this packed winds of over 200 miles an hour. You see the devastation.
That's right.
And nobody was prepared. They didn't have a plan B, let alone a plan A. We'll get into a cellar. That's not a plan. You know, that's like having someone in front of you shooting and you're ducking a bullet. Oh, thank God I didn't get hit with that one. Yeah, well, they're going to fire again. So you need to know that you're able to survive. Now, this comes today. Quote, this is from EchoWatch. Here's what it says from Blake Depe. From California to Wisconsin, record-breaking wildfire season has begun. On May 14th, Wisconsin saw its largest wildfire since 1980. Encouraged by strong winds, the blaze burned 8,700 acres and destroyed 17 homes and 30 other structures. Meanwhile, in California, another fire that began May 15th has blackened 3,800 acres in Ventura and Kern counties. It would seem that this is the start of yet another year of numerous fires as people throughout the U.S. struggle to adjust to a new normal in terms of natural disasters, an unfortunate result of climate change. And as it happens, the Wisconsin fire, which started 40 miles southeast of Duluth, was not so much caused by natural conditions as it was fueled by them. The low humidity and winds meant that the fire grew quickly and traveled. And then it goes on and on. But what this is telling us, Michael G., is that we're into natural disasters, and yet last night on Bill O'Reilly, he had, and it's not unexpected knowing him, he had this guy denying that this was global warming. Oh, you know, this tornado's just, you know, we've had this in the 1950s. And denying global warming. These people are denialists. Well, they, you know, they say, oh, it's just normal, so just adjust to it. How do you adjust to Sandy when Sandy comes as a category 3, 4, 5 next year and is 500% more dangerous than this year? When it knocks out, let's say, 5 million homes, causes $1 trillion in damage. Where's that money going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to replace the homes?
Mm-hmm.
What if it kills 10,000 people? And that's what's possible when you get the categories. Remember, Sandy was the lowest category,
category one.
We're looking at big categories. So I just found it was fortuitous that only here, only, in all of the New York area, only on WBAI, on our program, were we promoting a survival kit. The survival kit. What to do when disaster strikes.
Right.
What to do when disaster strikes. So if anything, they should pay attention to that because it's inevitable that you're going to need everything in that kit. So these are all wake-up calls. So call the station and get your survival kit. Also today, get your green stuff with the complimentary book as our gift, Living in the Moment, Prescription for the Soul. $25 gift, free, a book, Michael G.
All right. So thank you so much, Gary, for outlining all of those things. And you talk about these things regularly, and that, in my opinion, is the most important thing that we do here today, making sure that we can bring you regular ongoing programming ongoing information about these solar storms here on this radio station, and that's what Gary does regularly. We want you to call now, 516-620-3602, $99 for a $99 pledge. We're going to send you Gary Knowles Green Stuff, Gary Knowles New and Improved Green Stuff, along with Living in the Moment, A Prescription for the Soul. That's a book by Gary Knowles, and we were talking about that. Gary was talking about that. We'll send you that as well. But we do need to hear from you now. 516-620-3602. People are calling now, and that's fantastic. That's wonderful to see.
How many people are calling, Michael G?
Gary, I've lost count. People are calling in at like 2 and 3, 4 per minute. So people are calling at this number, 516-620-3602. Don't worry about getting a busy signal or anything like that. There are people, enough people to take all of your calls at that call. So before you go, Gary, it's 516-620-3602. And again, we thank Gary for staying on a little bit longer with us, making sure that we encouraged you to support the station. And people are still calling now, so make your calls now. Don't stop, don't wait, don't delay. I realize that sometimes you can't because you're driving or you're doing other things, and you know, you're working right now. You're in the office and you have your headphone in, and you're working and you're busy and you can't call. When you get the opportunity and when you can take a break, write the number down. Why don't you do that? 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And make a contribution to WBAI, raising funds for WBAI. I'll give it to you again. Write it down, please. 516-620-3602. If you can't make the pledge right now, if you're unable to pick up the phone and dial right now, write the number down so you can do it later. We're offering you, that's Gary has made this available. That's not to say me, but I'm glad that he did. I'm so glad that Gary did, because I really do believe in this green stuff. It is great. Raw and all natural, 20 vegetables and phytonutrients, organic spirulina and barley grass in Green Stuff, Gary Knowles New and Improved Green Stuff. And I'm telling you, as soon as you unscrew the cap, you will smell that cherry and that pineapple flavor. It's wonderful. You won't be able to believe it because it's green. It's green stuff. It doesn't look like a cherries or a pineapple. It's green, but it has the apple pectin, the organic barley grass juice powder, carrot juice powder, spinach, chlorella, organic spirulina, celery, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, oat, beta-glucan, kale, asparagus, parsley, radish, broccoli sprout powder, onion powder, collard greens, and arugula. And around my house, I shorten it. I just say, arugula. What are we having tonight? Arugula. So that's in here as well. Arugula. 516-620-3602. Gary Knowles New and Improved Green Stuff. It's $99, a $99 pledge to WBAI. $99 contribution. We'll send that to you. As well as Living in the Moment, Prescriptions for the Soul. That's right. We're going to send that to you. It's a free gift. You know, you're not paying anything for that. It's just a free gift. We're including that as well. A Prescription for the Soul, Living in the Moment. Free gift coming your way as well. Supporting radio station WBAI, 99.5 FM. There's an introduction, and in part one, it's The Boomer Dilemma. The Boomer Dilemma, Embracing Our Bliss in Chapter 2, How to Manifest a Beautiful Life in Chapter 3, and then going on, and then a little bit further down, Attracting Success Through Self-Empowerment, Embracing Passion, Choose Your Lesson in Life, or The Universe Will Choose It For You. Chapter 11, Rebalance Your Life. 12, enhancing self-esteem. 13, perfect harmony. 14, prescription for your soul. And chapter 15, being present for your own life. And there's more in this book, Living in the Moment. It's by Gary Noel, A Prescription for the Soul, Living in the Moment. 516-620-3602. We're going to give you a little music, take another couple of minutes, encourage you to pledge to WBAI. You're doing very well, and thank you very much. I'm excited by it. And when Kathy told me, we're doing green stuff today, I said, very good. I'm excited about it because I really believe in the green stuff. I've been using it for 2 years myself, and along with my vitamin C, I haven't had a cold in 2 years. Now, you know, every once in a while, and this is my own personal testimonial, every once in a while, I won't actually get a sniffle, but you know how the body feels when you say, uh-oh, I'm getting ready to get a cold. Dag nabbit, I'm getting ready to get a cold. And you say, you know, within 24 hours, the cold has taken a hold of you, taken hold of your body, and then you're sick for a week. And it stinks. It really does stink when you get a cold. Haven't had one in 2 years. And, well, you know, you extrapolate. But I know what I know. I know what I believe. 516-620-3602. Gary Null's new and improved green stuff. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much for these calls that are coming in. Continuing to come in. I think, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 calls a minute. And that's what we're taking now. My goodness, look at this. This is great. Some people are calling in and some people are not. Some people can call in right now and some people cannot. But if you can, if you're able to do so right now, please give us a call. 516-620-3602. It's a tax-deductible contribution to WBAI supporting the station.
I'm Gary Noll. I'm going to give you a phone number that if for any reason you can't get in to a location to listen over your land-based radio or car radio, or maybe you're not at an internet and you want to hear a program or go to the archive, there is a number that you can call in anywhere in North America or Canada and listen 24/7. Last night, by the way, we had so many people call in and listen to the Progressive Commentary Hour that during the program, I was getting these messages from our engineer that we are overloaded. Mind you, it takes an awful lot of people since we've expanded our capacity to be have listeners to overload us. But I had the highest ranking person inside the World Bank, a top lawyer, come on and talk about the corruption inside the World Bank and all the people associated and how they do it and how they get away with it. And the numbers is just, it was just a phenomenal amount of people who listened in. But a lot of people couldn't get through, so they called on the phone and listened over the telephone. And therefore, we have an exceptional amount of people could go. I believe it's over 600,000 people at any given time could call up on the phone, and we still wouldn't reach capacity. And we had that last month. That number, write it down, 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869. And I also want to thank all the people who have been so supportive of this, our radio stations that we raise money for. I don't raise money for the Progressive Radio Network. That's where we broadcast and originate all of our programs. But for our sister stations that are in deep need right now, we were averaging $7,000 to $8,000 a day. And before we launched a major program a week ago, now we're averaging over $33,000 a day. And on KPFK in Los Angeles, we've been hitting $50,000 and $60,000 days. These are really good. So, and that's all because of this audience, because you're bringing in anywhere from 50 to 75% of that. So thank you. It's saved the day, paid the rent, paid salaries for these non-commercial stations. My guest, Professor Norman Pollack, as I mentioned, is a professor emeritus of history at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. He has a long history of engaging in civil rights and anti-war activities over the decades, beginning when he was 15 and campaigning for Henry Wallace in his Progressive Party in 1948. He later campaigned for Adlai Stevenson in the 1950s in support of Martin Luther King. He's a two-time Guggenheim Fellow. He was a major intellectual voice during the late 60s in giving a knowledgeable boost to the new left, the real left, not the corporate left. And he wrote on American populism, which became a popular documentary called The Populist Mind. And after receiving his doctorate in American civilization from Harvard, he then went on to teach at Yale and Wayne State before going to Michigan. And later in his career, he focused on the history of civil disobedience and social political alienation and the sociology of fascism. He currently writes for Counterpunch and looking at the identifying characteristics of America's descent into a new form of neoliberal fascistic state. Nice to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you very much, Gary. It's great to be here. I just have one quick correction, and that is the Guggenheim was only one time, and I feel sheepish about that because I took my family to London just to kind of wind down from very intensive anti-war stuff and spent a good bit of that time devoted to the drama, music, and then visiting E.P. Thompson, who's perhaps one of the great historians of our time, who wrote on the English working class. So just once, and thank goodness the foundation hasn't gotten after me for a report, which is now 30-some-odd years ago. But it's great to be with you.
Thank you. I remember when I was asked, would I support Barack Obama? And I said, I never support a specific two-party system because I don't believe in a two-party system. I believe that we should have multiple parties because then it's all corporatized. And he said, no, this guy's, he's got it all. And this was specifically from a gentleman in our office who is a leading African-American reporter and an intellectual named Doug Henderson. And he's also a lawyer. And he was one of our scholars in residence. And so I said, let me look into his background. He said, what background? I said, have you looked into his background yet? He said, well, yeah, he was a social leader. And I said, how do you know? Who did you do your own homework? So what I did is I took a week and I looked at everything about his background, every place he worked, which clients he represented. And here I saw him representing coal companies, representing the largest nuclear facility, and forming an alliance with the largest lobbying group that was headed by David Axelrod, who became Barack Obama, became his campaign advisor and guided his two elections. Another person was Rahm Emanuel. He is the, probably along with Mayor Bloomberg, the ultimate 1% mayor of Chicago, and not of the 99%. If you doubt me, don't look at the shining skyscrapers. Look into the teachers who are boycotting in the schools, in the closed libraries, etc. In any case, I came back and I said, him and Valerie Jarrett and others actually facilitated the power brokers and the real estate moguls being able to take over different places and transfer them into these private-public partnerships that benefited the private but not the public. And I said, I would never vote for him. I said, and you know, his leading financial backer is a woman named Prisker of that hotel dynasty family. And yeah, but give him a chance. So a year later, when I took another look and I said, every single policy that he has implemented, every single one of the 1,600 people he's brought to Washington have all been representing special, unique corporate globalized interest. So at what point can you stop saying, give him a chance, the Republicans are keeping him from doing what he's supposed to? I said, he's doing exactly a perfect job. It's just not for the people, but for the people that got him elected, who selected him. That's where we begin our discussion, because you more than anyone should have this insight on this about how we perceive rampant dysfunction in Washington, both in the White House and in Congress. But is, in fact, this perfectly functional according to a set design in order to accomplish a specific purpose? For example, if we weigh the acts and policies of Washington, the federal bureaucracies, against civil freedoms and democracy, then we would surely say the U.S. government is dysfunctional. However, if we remove our individual citizen rights and the principles of democracy from the equation, as if they have no relevance for our elected officials, then is everything unfolding during the past two administrations clearly functional? And if so, share with us your perception of the ultimate goal of this distorted functionality.
Wow, Gary. Okay, so much. If I could just quickly comment on Obama in light of what you were saying. I supported him because I had been so emotionally engaged with the civil rights movement. But within days, and as soon as I saw the Geithner appointment and then Larry Summers coming on board, and then realized how much of that Clinton, Robert Rubin deregulation crowd was taken over whole, and then recognizing that what was happening, and this is a very sensitive subject, I guess, but for the way you described the person you're working with, this whole phenomenon of racial solidarity where it becomes difficult for blacks to criticize Obama, even though he is so screwing the black community, and even though any kind of straightforward class analysis would indicate that everything he stands for, all of his policies, bring about the degradation of the poor. And then since blacks numerically are so much involved with the composing the poor, it's a direct assault and so on. And the only way I can even publicly meaning simply comments or writing or something, that I can even begin to broach the topic. I had one thing in Counterpunch. I think it said Obama, race traitor, and a real traitor to blacks. And the only way I could do that was to try to express my admiration for the guys I've worked with in the civil rights movement and what they represented, and then going back as a kid, the kind of towering figures like Paul Robeson and Thurgood Marshall and others and so on, and to see this guy trading on his racial background as a way of neutralizing and silencing those who would ordinarily be quite progressive and are not because they fall for this is pretty bad. But okay, I'm sorry I had to take that time, but from what you were just saying that I found, as I was listening, I found very exciting. And this whole business of how do we define functional and what is dysfunctional and so on. And it occurred to me, which I didn't develop before, that the way we define functional in terms of the existing society and the existing power structure is that if it works to reinforce that structure, it is functional by definition. So that everything that has to do with dissent, everything that has to do with any kind of fundamental questioning is by the, let's say, the call it what you will, the value framework, the ideological framework, all of that becomes dysfunctional. That, of course, is not what, you know, we have to overthrow that whole thing. So what this comes down to is that I think that we have to take dysfunctional as we're using it in the most common sense way and say that, sure, I'm sorry I don't have the article at my fingertips but that I wrote on this, but dysfunctional, as we've seen in terms of words like impasse, stalemate, and so on, and all of the kind of heaping on the part of this supposed left on the Republicans and the Tea Partiers as though they are exclusively to blame for all of this and so on, it occurred to me that basically if you cut underneath a lot of that, what you find is such fundamental agreement on principles by both sides that there really is, in a kind of objective way, there's really a lot to be gained by being dysfunctional. Because when you're dysfunctional, there are a lot of things that you can do that you can't do when you're functional. One of the things that you can do when you're dysfunctional is keep the military appropriations going full steam, and at the same time work away and erode and destroy the social safety net. There isn't money enough for all kinds of things, in terms, obviously, then of unemployment, of foreclosure, of educational needs, of basic health needs, and so on. But that money can be cut off, and it's fine. So, in a way, what I'm trying to say is, this is not a question. In my mind, I'm trying very much not to fall into the trap of conspiracy theory, but to say that basically when you look at these things, one has to recognize that there are boundaries to society, structural boundaries, ideological boundaries, and by boundaries I mean the extent to which capitalism has so filled out the psychological room and so filled out the structural edifice and so on, that one expects that things like social safety nets are going to be the first to go, the first to be lost, that you're not going to get an authentic single-payer system when you can have a health program that benefits the large insurers and so on and so on. So that what I think I'm trying to get at is, gee, I'm not sure how far I can carry this now without this in front of me, but the idea that that all of this, maybe I'll call it simply wordplay, all of this and this pseudo-antagonism going on really represents a very, very narrow range, a very narrow political ideological spectrum, and that the more shouting there is, the more that really can be done, I'd almost like to say under the table, to destroy whatever remnants are still left of a humane, socially responsive government and society. So they can do what they want in Washington on these things, and the regrettable thing, very regrettable thing to me is the people simply take it. They're supine. They're willing to what? I don't know. To engage in false debates and pick out their heroes and not recognize just how cozy that whole government business integration relationship is. So that, gee, I don't know what else to say, Gary, on that. It's just that we seem to be stuck in a kind of time warp that began maybe shortly after World War II, and traces an arc that represents the wholesale demolition of the New Deal, the wholesale demolition of the concept of the public as a criterion by that government presumably is there to serve, and anything that smacks of the public then becomes extended as socialism, communism, this and that and so on, to the point now where it's so ingrained that Obama looks good and Obamacare looks good without penetrating below the surface, without recognizing all of the concessions that were made to the very interest. And this is the whole regulatory pattern. I just wrote something, I think it appeared, no, it didn't appear yet. I don't know if it will appear for Counterpunch, and it's not a very lovely title. I called it Blood Money. And the subtitle is Diamond, that's for Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase, $13 billion. And this has to do with the settlement going on now. Everybody is boasting, wow, what a huge settlement this is, where the Department of Justice has really cracked down on the mega banks and so on and so on. And you get through looking at this thing, and it's the same old kind of sweetheart relationship between government and business that actually begins with Theodore Roosevelt, mistakenly thought of as a trust buster, and the very opposite of that. And what you see in the works, for example, of the best work, Gabriel Kalko's book, Triumph of Conservatism, he goes back to that formative period of both Roosevelt and Wilson, where you have the Bureau of Corporations on one hand and the Federal Reserve System on the other. And everything about it, and going back to your own point of the 1,600 appointees coming in, everybody is there is stacked directly from the interests that are supposed to be regulated. And so in the case of Theodore Roosevelt, you didn't have the phenomenon of the revolving door, or rather you didn't have the label yet. But the Bureau of Corporations is made up entirely of J.P. Morgan men. And certainly with the Federal Reserve System, it's the leading banks and so on. And, so there really is not a true regulatory framework anywhere in American history. It has all been government intending to shield the interests, to make sure that a process of monopolization occurs, and to make sure that internal competition, sector by sector, does not get out of hand to hurt the largest firms. And that's what our regulatory process is. Your turn.
Recently, President Obama gave a speech at the UN, and I listened to it. I got a transcript of it because I couldn't believe that people were not examining how many lies were in it. And the language to identify the U.S. is exceptional. And doesn't this leading into grandiose illusions related to nationalism and superiority? George Orwell wrote of the danger of nationalism as being the habit of identifying oneself with a single nation or another unit, placing it beyond good or evil, and recognizing no other duty than that of advancing its interests. Then Orwell continued, he said, the abiding purpose of every nationalist is to secure more power and more prestige, not for himself, but for the nation or other unit in which he has chosen to sink his own individuality. Nationalism is power-hungry, tempered by self-deception. And I see this as the corporate Democrats, the corporate liberals, as compared to the authentic Democrat liberals, or for that matter, the authentic conservatives. And then you look and you say, is this not similar to the way Obama has framed America's exceptionalism? Because left out of that equation is, how exceptional are we when we can cause upwards of 700,000 dead Iraqi civilians? How exceptional are we when we have taken away all of our rights, when we listen in on every phone conversation, when we have militarized the police, when we're fearful of the American public? We've taken away constitutional provisions such as habeas corpus. When we challenge freedom of speech, anyone anywhere who talks openly about any institution of the government is immediately put onto a Homeland Security search list. So how exceptional is that?
Gary, if it were possible, if you could either read my mind, or if I could just simply say, you know, them's my ideas, in that exceptionalism itself is very interesting. There was a time when exceptionalism was a very beautiful doctrine, and this is sort of the way all of the kids would go. Kids is not quite the word, but anyone in American history who went through Harvard graduate school and in some way or other was influenced by Perry Miller would get that sense, and the word would be used of exceptionalism as something coming from John Winthrop and others, but it was really it was so controlled and well worked through that it didn't at that point at its inception become the abomination that allowed for everything to follow. At one point in one of my articles, I guess, were counterpunch. I talked a little bit about, I came upon exceptionalism in my thinking and so on, and I simply said an exceptionalism of brutality. There's where the exceptionalism is. We are really, it's interesting, and this might take us too far afield, but a Marxist might feel that capitalism is the same no matter what, wherever you go, and so on. And I don't know, I can simply say I'm not a Marxist, and I'm not a Marxist not because I'm afraid of consequences. I'm not a Marxist because I don't think I'm bright enough, and I have to struggle with the stuff, and I find that I can't quite get through all of this. But the idea here is if one took a number of capitalist societies, not all of them have savaged a social safety net. Not all of them are grounded in unrestrained wealth accumulation. I mean, and so that, of course, it's easier when there is a mixed economy all around. But the point about the United States is, there is a, if I can use the word, there is a kind of puristic capitalism where all alternatives are ridden off the road, where everything becomes crystalline in the sense of what we're about. And what we're about in terms of accumulation, what we're about in terms of market penetration, what we're about in terms of unilateral global supervision, you name it, on that score. So that on the exceptionalism, it has obviously become a crutch. It's become an ideological tool. It's become a means of fending off for ourselves the kind of self-criticism that should go along. I jotted something down just about, or actually my wife did. We just came back from a quick fitness thing, and I asked her to write this down because of what I read in the Times today. There was a lead article in the Times, this is the Internet edition, which talked about the continuation of drone attacks in Pakistan. And the kind of drone attacks that Amnesty International is coming out today or tomorrow, and Human Rights Watch today or tomorrow with reports on this kind of thing, with the huge number of civilian deaths, and the description of one in that article in the Times, Walsh and Massoud were the two reporters, of a grandmother, 64-year-old woman, working in her garden and zapped and vaporized. And Obama, of course, piously denying everything and so on. And so I wrote a comment earlier this morning after I read that to the Times, and it was probably the most bitter or strongest comment I've written. And afterwards, I was thinking, on the way home, driving, this little phrase came to me, do unto us as you would do unto others. And what that has to do with is, what would happen, and I'll just take a sentence from my comment just to illustrate. I wish the experience of Miram Shah, and there are countless other places in Pakistan, Yemen, etc., were replicated in small-town Ohio, Georgia, Kansas, to give Americans a taste of the cold-blooded things done in our name and by our leaders. If we did to ourselves a millionth of what we're doing to others, maybe we would wake up. That's why I wrote something about three cheers for the shutdown. I was for the shutdown in the most, I was for the shutdown with the obvious provision noted that I don't want to see people suffer who are obviously going to suffer. But I was for the shutdown because maybe it could wake people up, maybe let them see the priorities of the government, let them see what's happening with the allocation of wealth in this country, and how the military is continuing ever more while all of the things affecting their lives are going down. And I thought maybe I thought of shut down, wake up. But of course, that's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen maybe for the reason that I mentioned about exceptionalism and capitalism. It has so permeated our consciousness that it's going to take an awful lot to separate ourselves, well, actually from ourselves, from our culture, from our ideology, and see what is going on. And I think you're 1,000,000% right in the way you've placed Obama into that kind of liberal corporate framework, because it is the liberalism which becomes the insidious factor, because it smells so good, it seems so right, and it's also the one that is that is moving the battle the aircraft carrier Stennis into the Pacific in order to set up a confrontation with China. It's that drone bases and military bases ringing the entire globe. And I'm glad you mentioned that. It's the surveillance. Anything that smacks of that kind of surveillance cannot be other than totalitarian. Well, it is wrong, no matter how you slice it.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights. I just have a final thought.
Sure.
Many journalists and political analysts and historians are now writing that America's experiment with democracy is turning into a failure. And I'm most impressed with Morris Berman's trilogy of books on this subject. He uses the argument of la longue durée, that was the way the Annales school of the French historians, such as Braudel, which mm-hmm. argues that we need to analyze the structures that underlie contemporary historical events in order to observe the persistence of older attitudes of thought and action that often defy the logic of what is being demanded to deal with current problems. When I look at how we are being corporately governed by Washington today, including all the individuals who lack honest intellectual rigor and stature, and instead we are electing into office these people who are nothing more than puppets for those who have selected them, then I am concerned about the complete collapse of American democracy and the emergence of a very real authoritarian police state. And I know you have the same concerns as well. So I thank you for all your good work, and we look forward to another conversation.
Thank you very much, Gary, and be well. Bye-bye.
By Professor Norman Pollack, Professor Emeritus of History at Michigan State University, and graduated with his doctorate from Harvard, and also was professor at Yale. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening.
Is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed. Obama didn't say shit. After you divorce yourself from the right wing propaganda campaign, it's all simple and plain. America could stand the game. Your president got an African name. Now who you gon' blame when they dropping bombs out of them planes using depleted uranium? Babies looking like two-headed aliens. Follow the money trail that leads to the criminal, and nothing subliminal to it. That's how they do it. See the game they running. Give up up this cunning, articulate and handsome. Afghanistan held for ransom by the hand of this black man. Neo-colonial puppet, white power with a black face. He said, puppet it, I'll do it. A master of disguise, expert at telling lies. Then they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize. Should have known he was trained in Chicago. Word to Chairman Fred and Mark Clark. What they do in the dark will come out in the light like a WikiLeaks site. So I guess Nkrumah was right. Who's ready to fight? Last stage of imperialism, I ain't kidding. In the immortal words of Marvin Gaye, this ain't living. Strip was getting bomb, Obama didn't say bitch.
O-B-A-M-A, you ain't fooling everyone, I see the games you play. You was VIP at the BIC, and we know that's a code name for CIA.
chain ish. House niggas fresh off the slave ship. You all burn in hell, even Michelle abomination. Strip was getting bomb, Obama didn't say
this. The bigger threat from Osama or from Obama. Military bases from Chagos to Okinawa. I say things that other rappers won't say, cause my mind never closed like Guantanamo Bay. Hope you didn't feel the statue or tattoo your arm, cause the drones are still flying over Pashtunistan. Did he defend the war?
No.
He extended more, even had the time to attempt a coup in Ecuador. Morales and Chavez, the states are on the hunt for ya. Military now stationed on bases in Colombia. Take a trip to the past and tell them I was right. Ask Ali Abu Nima and Jeremiah Wright. Drones over Pakistan, Yemen and Libya. Is Obama the bomber getting ready for Syria? First black president, the masses were hungry, but the same president just bombed an African country like...
Gaza Strip was getting bombed, Obama didn't say shit.
The Jonas Brothers are here. They're out there somewhere. Sasha and Malia are huge fans. But boys don't get any ideas. I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming. You think I'm joking?
This is Summer Reese, Interim Executive Director and Chair of the Board of Pacifica Foundation Radio. I will be discussing the future of WBAI live Thursday, October 24th, 2013 at 6 p.m. following the Tom Hartman Show. Please tune in to learn more about the options the Board of Directors may be considering and the plans to ensure this important radio station's future and how you can be a part of that.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun.
Cops are out there cracking down on drunk driving all across the country. And they'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
And wow, that's like a bona fide PSA. That's a public service announcement. It's not a prostate, whatever the other PSA thing is. Your mic isn't on yet, Terrence. Now it's on. Now you can talk. I'm looking for my theme is what I'm doing. and you know that when it's this organized, that this is WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Yes, that report to the listener with Summer East should be mighty interesting, I've got to tell you. Big things are happening because little monies were coming in, although I understand we've been doing not horribly. But, you know, that doesn't mean that WBAI is going to continue the way that it has, as Summer said in that announcement. You should find out about the options that are being laid out for WBAI and the future of WBAI. But don't let that stop you from pledging. Don't let that stop you from calling our special phone number. Special, like in Special Olympics. Area code 516-620-3602. I recommend the BAI Buddy. I won't be pitching all morning, Terrence, just for a little while now. But the BAI Buddy option is a cool option because it's $10 a month, and $10 a month is, you know, a sustaining membership. It's a good thing. It's $120 a year. It's what you pay for, like, one channel on your cable TV. It's a premium. It's less than a your first premium channel.
Two coffees a month at Starbucks?
Yes, exactly. So $10 a month to become a BAI buddy. And if you order right now, for that $10 a month, you will get an 8 GB thumb drive, flash drive, whatever you want to call it, Andrew Phillips.
Storage device.
A storage device, a small storage device that will fit into your personal USB slot. Not to get, you know, too graphic about it, but hopefully.
It's after midnight.
It's after midnight. We're in Safe Harbor, so it's your personal USB slot. And you can put into that slot of yours the 100 speaker collection. That's all these different great speeches of the year and a mix done by Peter Beauchamp, along with the best of WBAI, which means it should be... I'm not even going to be on there, am I? Actually, I think there is... There are a couple of things that I produced in that Best of BAI. I think part of my Peter Shickley concert may be in there.
That'd be good.
And don't know about my Tolkien reading, although that was, I say mine, it was Baird Searles doing the reading. I co-produced it with David Marks and Margot Adler, and we actually did it with the permission of Tolkien, who was alive. Not only was he alive, but I got to phone him and ask him the pronunciation of the wizard, the gray wizard. So, that's a whole other story. But suffice it to say, $10 a month? Yeah. Get an 8 GB thumb drive. Why, the value of that thumb drive alone, you'd have to pay $15.
If.
No, actually, they'd be what? An 8 GB drive, about $25, $30, Terrence?
I haven't picked one up in a while.
Yeah.
If you shop hard, you can find, like, you know, 20, but it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, but this goes for us.
And it's filled with content.
And it's filled, jam-filled.
Jam-packed and fun-filled.
Yes, with I actually, given that these are MP3s, I don't think all 8 GB are used, but it contains hundreds of hours of material, and that is true. So, $10 a month, the BAI buddy at area code 516-620-3602. And what you will be doing is telling the management that Hour of the Wolf science fiction programming is something you value. Tell the current management, tell the management who will pay to become the management. Well, as I said, listen to Summer Reese tomorrow night. That's an option. That's not a definite thing. But it's something that's going on.
The world is filled with options. So.
Yes, indeed. So, having said that, I think it's time to start the theme music. And we'll be back. Possibly sooner than I thought. Ah, here we are. Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a morning program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. With me this morning, Terrence Taylor. No, we're not going to be pitching all morning, so it's safe to stay tuned. We're going to gab a lot.
Shoot 'em up, destiny. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up to the moon. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I wanted to be a spaceman. That's what I wanted to be. But now that I am a spaceman, nobody cares about me. Send me real soon. I want to be a spaceman. I want to be so bad. But now that I am a spaceman,